Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Wow.
Hello and welcome to the Born Japan podcast, probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host, Chris Broad, and we're joined, as always, by London's top Japan enthusiast, Mr. Pete Donaldson. Pete, how you doing?
I'm good. I'm still enthusiastic about Japan, even though I probably won't be going anytime soon.
Yes, I don't think anyone will be going anywhere anytime soon. Oh my God. You've been on holiday for the last few weeks, Pete, haven't you? You've just been disappeared off the face of the earth in a cave somewhere.
Gallivanting.
And you've returned to London in the most surreal circumstances, haven't you?
I have, yeah. I was away for a couple of weeks. I'm nice and sunburnt. And I've come back and London is very different indeed. Now, if you live in the arse end of nowhere in England, if you live in a town or a village, you probably see a lot of people wandering around because, you know, village life is very different to city life. But to see the entirety of Piccadilly Circus just completely bereft of people, to see Old Compton Street completely bereft of people, the only people who are out are men taking pictures of how quiet it is. Therefore,
I can imagine.
The scene not as quiet as it should be. It's just men going around going, oh my God, it's so quiet. I'm going to take some pictures of this. It's so crazy.
And I mean, you're right in the middle of it, right? Given you're in central London, it must be really weird at the moment. Like every street quiet, every street empty, a bit like 28 days later, I'm imagining.
It is. That's very like 28 days later. I ran to the shop because I hadn't got any shopping in and I certainly didn't have enough toilet roll, but I did steal some from the aeroplane on the way back, which is good. And so I was like toddling around and I would sort of fill up with stuff. And yeah, it was like 9 p.m. last night. So what's that? Monday night, usually just filled with tourists and people. And there was no one around apart from the aforementioned men who seemed to find it alluring to take pictures of a completely empty Piccadilly Circus at 9 p.m. on a Monday. But it's just fascinating. It really is.
It is. But I mean, it's surreal for me because I'm obviously opposite end of the spectrum at the moment. Japan's one of the few countries where things are kind of normal. And it's ridiculous. Like I just saw an event the other day, the Olympic flames here at the moment. And 50,000 people in Sendai queued up to see it, which probably wasn't a good idea because it's not as though Japan has no cases. I think it's widely, the opinion that's widely held at the moment is that Japan is kind of not doing a great job testing. The numbers are probably a lot worse than they are. I don't want to go down that road too much. I don't want to talk about all that. But there's a lot of mixed messages. Like some people say that because Japan is a low contact culture, people don't hug, people don't kiss, people don't touch. Maybe they're not spreading the virus. And maybe because people wear masks, they're also they're passing it on less often. At the same time, there isn't a whole lot of testing going on. It's a paltry sum. I think the last time I looked, it was like 3,000 tests or something ridiculous compared to other countries that have done tens of thousands of tests. So I don't entirely trust it. And I don't know many people that do. So I feel like Japan should be taking a bit more action right now, to be honest.
even over here, it's quite clear that when like Iceland has tested half of their population, I know they've only got a few people living there, but when they've managed to test more people than probably the Japanese have, I think it's pretty ridiculous. And it's clear to a lot of the world that Japan have a vested interest in keeping those cases down, even though the IOC seem to be thinking, hey, guys, come on. Stop being silly. We can't do the Olympics this year. It's a unique and interesting situation, but Japan really need to be doing more when it comes to testing, because whether they have the Olympics or not, obviously it's going to be a big payday this year or next year. They need to be more responsible about their general populace. But yeah, you're right. It is a low contact population. But I don't buy those numbers necessarily.
No, I don't either. And I mean, it was the Olympic torch landed in an airport not too far from Sendai, actually, here in Miyagi Prefecture. And I read that as it got off the plane, it got blown out because it was a really windy day. Bit of an omen there. Not what you want to hear happening. What does that tell you? But I mean, only this week have they talked about postponing the Olympics, not cancelling it, just postponing it to 2021. I don't think that's ever been done before. Obviously, Japan's track record for having the Olympics cancelled before wasn't great when it was cancelled in 1940 because of World War II. One of the ministers here, who's, I can't remember his name. He's a reputation for making a lot of gaffes and saying things that probably should just be left unsaid. But this guy said that every 40 years, the Olympics is cursed, because it was 1940, World War II, 1980, the Moscow Olympics, I think, were cancelled because of the Cold War, and now again in 2020. Are the Olympics cursed? Definitely.
Maybe.
Every 40 years.
I mean, it sounds about right, the curse of the Olympics. There's plenty of curses in sport. The Benfica curse, etc. It's interesting because obviously the football Euros have been postponed. The football ramble, which is one of my podcasts. So obviously, we don't know what to talk about. It's really really interesting. Football media is so saturated. Like it's a micro economy in itself, effectively. So we've just got a lot of football podcasts, a lot of football websites, a lot of football radio stations, a lot of football this and that. All of these commentators just kind of kicking their heels and kind of reviewing old matches. The football ramble have taken to review old football films. We did the film Goal last week, which is very fun. It's going to be interesting times, especially, you know, we're personally affected by the financial implications, certainly on the Ramble side. It's not just the fact that we don't have anything to talk about, it's the fact that people don't have commutes, so there'll be fewer people listening to even this podcast, the Abroad Japan podcast. And also you've got a situation where advertisers are quite literally, not quite literally, shitting their peas, shitting their pants about spending money. So we're in a situation where advertisers aren't spending. The podcast market is going to find it very, very difficult to survive over the next few months, if indeed you make your money from podcasting. So it's going to be a lot of people cutting their cloth accordingly. Obviously, that pales in comparison to the human death rate and all of the situation that side. But there is a massive financial implication everywhere in every corner of society with the coronavirus situation.
But is it not the case people sitting inside might want to listen to the podcast to just because it's going to be bored? Isn't a podcast?
Well, apparently listening figures are down around the board. So you'd be surprised how important podcasts are to people's commutes. But I think people will have a little bit more time to listen to them. But I think we forget that a lot of people have responsibilities at home. They're working from home. They don't necessarily want to do the things they associate with work necessarily. And also, a lot of people have kids and they are slowly going insane.
Can imagine. Oh man, it's a terrible time. I mean, I'm most worried about friends and family back in the UK, supermarkets running out of food, and the situation there seems pretty dire. And it's just crazy, like how rapidly everything turned on its head, right, in the last kind of month and a half. Back when you were over here for the Sapporo Snow Festival, it seemed like it might kind of fizzle out, or it seemed like it wasn't going to really kick off in Europe. It seemed like Europe and the US kind of escaped the wrath of the bloody virus, and yet, unfortunately, not. And couldn't be worse than it is now. Oh,
more than anything else, I think in the UK, the problem is like we have this real kind of like idiotic blitz mentality where we're like, you know, if we give in to the, if we don't go to the shops every morning at 8 o'clock and queue for chops, we're giving in to the terrorists. We're giving in with the Dunkirk spirit. We defeated the Germans. We'll defeat them again. You know, it's just like, what are you fucking talking about?
Yeah. Time something goes on, it's the Dunkirk spirit, isn't it? Dunkirk spirit.
So
shut up and get on it. Honestly.
We were talking to, an Olympic, I think, is he a medalist? Either way, he's Team GB, a guy called Courtney, who's in the gymnastics team, right. And was hoping to get to the Olympics this year. And he was out in, I think he was out in Azerbaijan for a few days at a meet. And obviously, a lot of people haven't even qualified for the Olympics. And I was sort of saying to him, like, what happens when there's like a fork in the road like this? Like, what happens if like you're training, you're looking forward to, you know, qualifying for a particular tournament? What happens when the tournament doesn't happen? And he's going, mate, like, if you've got like an athletic mentality, you can't let these things kind of like sway you. You have to just keep on training. You're not training for the sake of competition. You're training because you love doing it and you want to be the best that you can be. Mm-hmm. And I was listening to it, I was going, this is so difficult and so different to anything I've ever experienced. I'm so not competitive in any small way.
You don't want to be the best podcaster you can be. You want to be the
best? Have you heard this show? Have you heard any of my shows? No, clearly not. I'm spread too thin, Chris.
You do a lot of podcasts at the worst possible time. I'm sure it'll be all right. It'll all bounce back and we'll all live happily ever after. But a lot of people's holidays were ruined. A lot of you guys have been messaging us about your stories. I mean, I think I said in the last podcast, I had about 5 or 6 friends coming over in April and one wedding.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
And another friend in May. And every single one of them, they're not coming now and the wedding's cancelled. And it's really odd. Right. My April's gone from being the busiest April I was ever going to experience to just me sitting in a room, like looking at like a wall. And for some reason, me saying that line just triggered my iPad, triggered Siri. And now my iPad's being really noisy. What the hell? What the fuck?
I didn't even hear that.
It's really creepy. Now it's listening to every word I'm saying. It's still talking the other side of the room. What is wrong with Siri? It's all falling apart. I can't take it anymore.
It really is. So what is like the situation like? Obviously you're up north a little bit, but what's the situation when it comes to 7-Elevens? Can I still get my coolish and my melon pan?
Well, I mean, the best way to think of it is imagine Japan is just normal, except Disneyland is closed. And that is essentially what the situation is. There are, you know, now that the Olympics are not going to happen, it's not 100% confirmed, but everybody knows it's not going to happen. The government has started talking a bit more about closing down Tokyo and putting Tokyo on a lockdown. The mayor of Tokyo recently spoke about shutting it down, which might not be a bad idea. Because if you look at the videos, people are out in Hanami, cherry blossom season, they're having a right old time, all the venues are still open, concerts are happening, thousands of people in one room, it's all happening. And there's a sense of disbelief amongst most people in Japan. I think a lot of people are kind of, why is nothing more being done? Why are people still going to work? Clearly, the government was worried about the Olympics, and also they just want to keep the economy going, because obviously Japan's economy isn't doing that great already. And this would be the, you know, doing like shutting down the country and the Olympics being cancelled would be just shatter the economy on a massive scale. Although it's inevitably going to happen now. But no, I mean, for the most part, I'm trying to stay indoors, even though there's no kind of message to stay indoors. I'm trying to do it. I'm trying to stay in as much as I can. I'm still going to the gym, which might sound like a bit silly, but for some, the gym I go to, everyone has to sterilize the equipment after they've used it. So every piece of equipment you use, you have to get like these antibacterial wipes, wipe down the entire equipment, and then carry on to the next one.
Oh, is that just general practice anyway? That's not just
I think it is. Yeah, no, it's just general practice. People here,
that's cool.
Very kind of nice about how they use the gym. What else has happened? The deer, you know, the bowing deer of Nara, the deer that bows when you give them a snack.
Yeah.
And the ancient capital of Nara, they because there's no tourists feeding them, they're kind of running amok around the city. They've just taken over the whole city. So Mike's down every other street. There's a deer just wandering around trying to get a piece of the action.
I've got a lot of time for that. Yeah, I've seen a couple of pictures of like deers in like tube stations because they're not getting fed out where the parks are. They're sort of coming into the town and wandering around looking for food, feeding off scraps. Because the whole thing of that of Nara Park where you just walk in and there's just deers everywhere and you get given you rather buy for a couple of hundred yen a packet of biscuits and you feed them the biscuits. They're quite delicious, I have to say. They're not disgusting. So if you ever feed a deer a biscuit, have a little munch on one first.
Eating the snacks at now. You're confessing to eating the snacks that you feed the deer. That is bleak.
It's kind of bleak. I was in where would I have been? I think I was in a park in Fukuoka, maybe a temple actually. And there was this like little vending machine and some of the, you know, I'm a big fan of Icelandic ice cream. I'm a big fan of Japanese ice cream and of the ice creams you can buy in arcades, for example. I know, right? Some of the ice creams you can buy in arcades, they're like ice cream, but they're surrounded by like this kind of thin wafer sort of situation and it's in like little cubes. It's a really interesting sort of thing. So you can hold it in your hand, bite into it and it doesn't melt all down your hand and it's quite cool. And obviously if you're playing arcade games, that's pretty awesome as well. So you're not covering the machine in crap. But I thought what I was buying was some kind of like wafer snack because there was a picture of it. It was 100 yen. I was like, that's kind of cheap. So I put the 100 yen and this wafer just fell to the bottom of this vending machine. And it wasn't wrapped in plastic or anything. And I was like, that's a bit weird because usually it's always wrapped in plastic because, you know, people are very, very hygiene conscious in Japan. And as soon as I pulled out of the vending machine, I realized that it was filled with little pellets. And then as soon as I snapped it open to get the pellets out, a million birds just descended on me. It was insane. Their little talons were on my hands. They were sat on these big pigeons were sat on my hands, grabbing their little talons through my skin. I was like, oh no, it's pigeon food. I had no idea. So they actively encourage you to feed the pigeons at this temple in Fukuoka, and I didn't know. And I came away scratched and confused and ice creamless.
Scratched and confused. That is a bold move to feed pigeons at a temple. What are they thinking?
just bird shit everywhere.
Oh, I mean, I've heard, Buddhist temples like to have that connection with nature, but that might be taking things a little bit too far, to be honest.
A little bit, yeah.
I did think about going down to Nara and seeing the deer and getting some photos of these kind of deer wandering through the picturesque streets, but probably not a good idea. Given the coronavirus. And actually there was talk of cases in Hyogo Prefecture and Osaka going up massively in the next few days. There's said to be some sort of outbreak of, I think, 3,000 cases. So not going to be going down there anytime soon, which is a shame. I really wanted to go to Kyoto as well while it was kind of empty. But I guess even when things are recovering, you know, I could probably go down there and when things have kind of died down a bit, it will still be kind of quiet. But a lot of people have been asking when's the best time to come to Japan now if you've cancelled your trip in March, April, May. Most of the friends that I know that have cancelled, they are going to be coming kind of September, October, November. So I'd recommend around then. Still a great time to visit Japan, as Pete can also attest to. It's a lovely time to visit, isn't it? So that's the best time if you're going to switch, in my view.
Can you hear? You probably can't hear it, but there's a homeless man. I don't think he might not be homeless, but he's certainly a bit of a street legend on my street. Is this Irish guy who just sings? He's got a beautiful voice. He looks like shit, but he's got a beautiful voice. It's kind of like drunk.
Are you singing right now?
He's just got this beautiful, sweet singing voice, and he sings these beautiful Irish sort of lullabies as he walks down the street. But it does. I have moved my little podcast box to the front room, so I am worried that a lot of my podcasts will just have this beautiful Irish singing in the background.
Well, I can't hear it. So if any of you guys can hear it, it's a little bonus. Typical, isn't it?
It's like that. Yeah. It's wonderful.
You have to one up me on everything. I've got Siri. Noisily in the background going, what do you want? I can't hear what you're saying. Can you say it again? And you've got an elegant Irish singer in your street. What does that tell you?
Always swigging from a bottle of rum.
Wonderful. Wonderful. But no, I mean, what did you see the Sapporo video, by the way?
I did watch the Sapporo video. Of course I did. They had me in it, mate. I tell you what, if you ever want to have, if you ever want to have like a, I mean, we were together for like 2 days and you made that look like the most fun ever, and it was fun, but you made it look like I wasn't freezing all of the time during that trip. If you ever want to sort of have a legendary holiday, just spend a couple of days with Chris and have him film you, because it just makes everything, it just makes your like holiday feel just that little bit more awesome. Because
I'd say that's just you, to be honest. You're the sort of person who's kind of shy, quiet and reserved, but then you kind of turn the camera on Pete and he like comes to life. It's like a different character.
Yeah, because I'm a goddamn performer. I'm helping you out, Chris, all right?
You were good though. I mean, you were the life and soul of the Sapporo video. If you haven't checked it out, guys, it is on the Abroad in Japan channel. I actually made that video. I wasn't really going to do anything with it. I was just playing around with my GoPro. And I was thinking,
I love how you say GoPro.
Or what do you say then? Clever.
I say GoPro, but I mean, I'm Northern, aren't I? GoPro, but you sort of go GoPro, my GoPro, my croissant.
I mean, I wasn't going to make a video, but then I filmed some stuff and it was quite fun. And then I was going to put it on the second channel. And then I edited it for like a week or two. And by the end of it, I was like, all right, this is good enough to go on the main channel.
Yeah.
It's a little bit indulgent. There's not much educational value, but I think it's a lot of fun. If you haven't watched it, check it out. What are some of the highlights? You burnt your mouth out on some takoyaki filled with mustard. Yeah, that's probably my highlight. And your camera, the 8mm. Yeah,
my Super 8. I think that's going to be quite difficult to get processed now, because obviously everything's on shutdown, and I imagine all non-essential businesses are shut down. Mind you, it is going to Germany, who seem to be largely untouched in the grand scheme of things with the coronavirus. It's very interesting how differently their story has gone compared to places like Italy and Spain, and even places like I think Switzerland are quite high in the list. Interesting.
Well, if we're going back to the old kind of social contact, right? The like we said, Japan is a low contact culture. I don't know if that's the technical phrase. It's what I've heard a lot, but obviously people here don't hug, kiss, touch. Just have fun in general, really. Whereas in Italy, they kiss, they hug, they're very kind of, and obviously younger people spend a lot of time with the elderly generation. They're kind of really good at like social relationships in Italy. Mm. And I think that's probably why it's much worse there, amongst other reasons.
Yeah. But
as for Germany, I don't know. Not going to be, I don't know.
Turns out we are not pandemic experts, but there are a lot of people on Twitter who seem to think they are.
Yes. I mean, I kind of regret, I think, I can't remember if it was before our recent podcast, but I made a video about the coronavirus, didn't I? Just talking about the situation in Japan a month ago. And I hate that video now, because I'm like, oh, it's bad, but it'll be good. Don't worry. It'll sort itself out. It'll be wonderful. And that's really bad. And I hate that video. And I look like an idiot.
Yeah, but
absolute mug. Because I'm like prophesizing how brilliant it'll all be and how it'll all just go away, and it hasn't, and it's much worse, and now I look like an idiot.
Well, I hate to kind of conflate terrorism with a mass outbreak of a pandemic, but with the younger, slightly younger generation, certainly people in their 20s, I've sort of noticed a real marked kind of like real sort of deep-seated fear about the future and how everything's going to fall together. Because, you know, when you're in your 20s, like you are, Chris, you're still forming ideas about what the world is and how the world works. And the last few years anyway has kind of experienced like so much, certainly in London, like a lot of terrorism every few months, you know, like bits and, you know, the Manchester bombings. Like, I just think there's a lot of kids, like probably a lot younger than you, Chris, but who are fearful of being in a big city, fearful of living a normal life. And I think this sort of thing can really affect people's mental health. Obviously it can with any pandemic, but like it can really sort of mess up people's heads. And I've sort of noticed the people who work for my company and a couple of others. They seem to be affected a little bit more. And I think it's a responsibility for people who are a little bit older to sort of go, look, you know, shit like this happens. You know, we've had things like this in the past. This is the first time we've had social media. So there's a lot more chat and uninformed chat at that. There's just a lot more misinformation and disinformation getting thrown around. So look, it will get better, but it'll have to get a little worse before it gets better. But this is just what living life is all about. Just be careful, guys. All right.
Well, I mean, it's funny you should bring that up, because I mean, I've spent the last kind of week or two just indoors, and I forgot to mention I went to go and see Natsuki last week for the first time in a while.
All right,
and get a much needed haircut. It's gonna be magical. It's gonna be wonderful. And I got there. Mm. We went out for a drink, and I ended up with food poisoning somehow. I think it was some dodgy pork I ate. Do you know what an otoshi is? You never heard of otoshi?
No, otoshi.
So do you know you get a seating charge at like a bar or restaurant? Often you go in
and
you have to pay like 500 yen just to sit down, right?
Sometimes it is eye-wateringly high for the Westerner
who
doesn't really understand what the hell is going on.
You're a big spender, Pete.
I don't mind spending money. I do not mind spending money and over tipping and stuff like that. But so I was in a bar that was dedicated to Chuck Berry, I believe. It was certainly a very Chuck Berry heavy. And it was like, it amused me because Chuck Berry was a noted pervert. But we were at Chuck Berry bar, and I think the cover charge was something like 2,000 yen, which was high. I think you got one drink in that, and it's just like, this is beyond the pale. One little Brilliant. Cheap lager for almost like 17 quid. Good God.
Chuck Berry would be proud. Which reminds me of Natsuki Berry. The surreal experience that was Natsuki Berry. But anyway, yeah, I was going out for a drink Natsuki, got the otoshi, which was this, in this case, so you pay the seating charge, you sometimes get something kind of complimentary. It can be like a dish or something. In this case, right. I got some pork dish, and it was a bar. It wasn't a restaurant, and I don't think they're very good at doing food there. Nevertheless, I was a little bit drunk, and I ate it. And about 3 hours later, I was the most violently sick I'd ever been in my life for 5 to 6 hours, from like 3 a.m. to 8 a.m. By the end of it, I was really like ready to go to the hospital, because I just had like no fluid in my body. I was just like a pile of skin crumpled on the floor, no water in me at all. And so I was kind of wiped out for 2 or 3 days. I didn't get the haircut. That was the worst of it. No haircut. So I still look like I've got a rug on my head. But while I was in bed, feeling just dead and terrible, I was just sat there, just read headlines for all those 2 days. I was just strapped into the internet, watching the world kind of fall apart. And since then, you know, I've been trying to do videos, trying to get things done, but I keep going back to Twitter. I keep reading the news, and it's just so depressing and rubbish. And
get off the social, everyone.
I've been trying to write some kind of comedy, funny videos, right? Try and lift the spirits of people. But because I'm kind of depressed and not very happy, I'm having trouble writing them. I just can't find a sense of humor to write, to make the damn videos. So I've just sort of sat here the last few days, not doing a lot, feeling a bit rubbish. It sucks. What you said was, I definitely resonated with me, and I can definitely relate to that. As I am in my 20s, I'm a young lad. I'm in my 20s for another 3 weeks, and then I'm 30.
Oh, holy birthday.
Just in a room. In quarantine. Brilliant.
When's your birthday? I must write it into my diary.
Yeah. I mean, I'll be waiting for those presents to come through, Pete.
Well, I don't know. When is your birthday? I don't know when your birthday is.
When's my birthday? How dare it? It's 21st of April.
Oh, so it's before mine then?
Yeah, isn't your birthday in April?
Yeah, 30th.
There you go. 21st. So we should exchange presents. That'll cheer us both up.
That'll cheer us both up, yeah.
That'll cheer us up. But yeah, I'm going to be 30 in April, and doesn't feel like there's a lot to look forward to right now.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment.
Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? Mine's pretty low after coming back from the craziness of WrestleMania, too many body slams and all that. And I'm pretty jealous of my co-host Chris, who seems to have been exploring Japan's most isolated hotel. He's definitely winning in the relaxation race, but I'm determined to catch up with him. It can be easy to get swept up in social gatherings and spread ourselves too thin, but with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Japan today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Japan.
Now, anyway, let's cheer ourselves up with some Japanese learning. We've heard some words here. We heard about the deer of Nara. Do you know what the word for deer is in Japanese? Shoot.
I don't know. I don't know what the word for deer is, actually, thinking about it.
It is shika. Shika.
Shka.
It's quite a short one. S-H-I-K-A, shka.
Ah.
So if we make a simple sentence, shka gairu. Shka gairu.
What's gairu mean?
They're there, innit?
They're there, innit?
I saw some photos of you back from your trip. And you had a nice suntan. You had a very nice suntan.
Always burn first, then I start to peel, and then I get a little tan.
Yeah, to be fair, he looked a bit sunburnt after our little fishing trip a few weeks ago as well, for an hour. But do you know what the word for sunburn is? This is quite a useful one, actually. You hear this quite a lot in summer.
Oh, do you? Okay. No, I don't actually know that.
Hiyake. Hiyake.
Hiyake. Hiyake.
And it's the, you can say it's a suru verb, so hiyake suru. So in your case, right. Hiyake shimashita. Hiyake. Mm. The kanji for it is day or sun, followed by kind of the one for grill or to burn, hiyake.
Ah, so if you can say the sun kanji looks like a chest of drawers, I would say.
I really want you to make a book of kanji characters with you describing how they look, because we still still haven't cracked the code to learning.
I always think with like mnemonics and stuff, I always think that it's kind of they're very personal. So I was like reading a kanji book that sort of gives you all of these things, and it's like, no, I wouldn't do it like that. I don't know why. And they're all very sensible and stuff, and they make sense, but you're like, they're someone else's drawings, and if you're in any way artistically inclined, it's intensely personal. You say, oh, that doesn't look like an eagle. That looks like an old shoe. So it's like, that's the difficulty of reading someone else's idea of what something looks like.
Well, with the Japanese learning method for kanji that I used and I always preach people to use is the Heisig method, like a big textbook. Mm. And it doesn't teach you how to read how they're pronounced, but it teaches you kind of the meaning behind each character and how to draw them.
Right.
And it kind of starts off telling you this is what it looks like. It looks like the sun, or it looks like a chest of drawers, as you put it. You know, they'll kind of give you ways of looking at it. And then as it progresses, as you get to like 500 kanji in of the 2,200 kanji, it kind of encourages you to make up your own stories and use your imagination a bit more.
Right.
Which I think is the best way to do it. It really worked for me.
Yeah.
But yeah, definitely the key is to make it personal and use your own interpretations. Right. Let's turn our attention to the fax machine. What have we got this week, Mr. Donaldson?
We've got an email slash message from Anthony Maury. I know a Tony Maury who's very lovely, so I hope you're as lovely as
that
guy.
It's the same.
Hi, guys. My name is Anthony, and I'm a Peruvian American living in upstate New York. In last April, I visited Japan for 10 days, and I spent time in Hiroshima and Osaka. Thanks to the Rabbit Island video on the channel, I decided to go and check it out while waiting for my bus from Hiroshima Station to the port of Tananumi. I think I got a taxi from Hiroshima to Tananumi, actually. Very wasteful financially. I went to the food court and grabbed a quick bite to eat. About halfway through my meal, a Japanese woman came over and in pretty good English asked me if I wanted to arm wrestle her friend. I, of course, said I would love to. I quickly finished my meal and walked over to their table where a middle-aged man with a shaved head was eagerly waiting for me. We began arm wrestling and I won the first round fairly easily. Before the second round started, he looked at me in the eyes and in broken English said, "This is Oriental magic," and proceeded to lightly pinch my bicep. Then, as we started the round, he said, "Full power!" and used his whole upper body to try and bring my arm down, but in the end, I still beat him. I felt bad, and I ended up apologising to him and his friend. My question to you guys is, was I wrong to not let him win, or would I have offended him more if I did? Sorry for the long email. I hope you guys are doing well, and your families are in good health. Anthony Maury. Full power!
I'm so glad you read that out, because I wouldn't have failed to. I would just laugh. That's probably the best story I've ever heard. Just for the line, "This is Oriental magic, full power," and then still loses. Brilliant. Oh my God, couldn't make that up. And yet, that is quite a common thing. Have you ever had that? Have you ever experienced an arm wrestling battle in Japan?
No, I really haven't.
It's really common.
I'm always scared that someone might break my arm. Because you see those professional arm wrestlers, the amount of times where their arm just goes, and you're like, "Oh, that's horrible."
I've seen some pretty horrible events. I've seen some pretty bad ones. But I mean, it's quite common if you're in an izakaya or a pub or somewhere like in Tokyo. I know my good friend Yuki, who you've met, Yuki.
Yeah,
you may have seen the Marmite. Yeah, the Marmite guy. It's the best way to know him. Marmite or Tiny Beer. He loves a good arm wrestle. Whenever we drink, he's like, "Yeah, let's arm wrestling." And then we have to do it. And then he wins because he's got a good arm. And then he's like, "Yeah, I'm the best." And then it's quite a common thing. I don't know why. Maybe it's about masculinity. Maybe it's just
It's definitely about masculinity. All the problems in the world are about masculinity, Chris. Every problem in the world is the fragile male ego.
I mean, I want a better arm so I can take on Yuki and take on the many men of Japan that want to show me Oriental magic. If you come to Japan, don't be surprised if someone at a bar tries to get you into an arm wrestle, because it's quite common. And just hope you win. Well done, Anthony.
I think after 3 or 4 weeks of isolation, I think there's a lot of men who are going to have stronger arms.
Hey.
That's all I'm saying.
Hey. Shocking. Elizabeth from Denmark says, "Hi, Chris and Pete. I'm a long-term subscriber. I love the podcast too. Listen every week. Thanks for listening. I have a few questions for you both to answer. What has been your favourite podcast you've made and why? And Chris, what's been your favourite video to make and why? And another question for you both." Oh, greedy. "If you had to get a job in Japan, apart from a YouTuber or a teacher, what would it be? All the best, Elizabeth from Denmark." Okay. That's an interesting one. What's your favourite podcast we've made and why, Pete? Put you on the spot.
I like those ones where we sort of give people like a plan of action, you know, 48 hours in Japan or kind of like 10 off the beaten track kind of places to go, etc. I like those kind of ones. They're cool.
Yeah, what we're giving people tangible benefits to listening.
Yeah.
We've got one next week that's going to hit that mark. But for me, I'd say the least favourite podcasts we've made are the ones where we walk around the street with like microphones and try not to get run over while talking.
I don't know why you hate those.
I hate them. I hate them. And the best one I've made, you know, I quite like the one we did in Kobe where we were just finishing up Journey Across Japan with Pete's segment and we just sat in an attic in a random scary big house up a mountain. That was quite fun. Or
yeah, that was cool.
Probably, I really like the first few podcasts we did in the studio in Absolute Radio when we first started out, because I felt like I'd made it. I felt big time being in the Absolute Radio studio near Piccadilly Circus in London. I felt like, yes, I'd made it. And then Pete left his job and we're never going to go there again. So,
well, in many ways, Chris, to be honest, in the middle of the coronavirus pandemic, we're a lot of the DJs have taken to recording their shows from home. So in many ways, they followed our model rather than we followed theirs.
Leading the pack, abroad in Japan. What's been my favorite video to make, and why? Oh, it's going to take me a few minutes to work that out, Pete. While I think, if you had to get a job in Japan, apart from a YouTuber or a teacher, what would it be?
Well, I probably people have romantic fantasies about opening a little bar, a little izakaya somewhere, and just. But the problem is, they're really small, and just. People are quite annoying, and I'd just have to talk to them all the time. So I don't think that would be my gig. But I do like it when you're in like a tiny little bar in somewhere like Golden Guy or somewhere like that, and there's only three in there, and then a man will appear with supplies, and he'll just come in like and deliver, you know, beer and wine, and he'll be the delivery guy. So I'd quite like to be a delivery guy. That would be cool. Yeah, just delivering like big old vessels of beer, and I think they call them barrels these days, the kids, and booze and serviettes and, you know, raw materials, chips and pork and stuff like that. Lovely.
Nice one. I mean, it would be ridiculous for me to try and choose a single video that I like that I think is the best. I think the one that I'm most proud of is actually the most one of the most recent ones, the one about the tsunami documentary, where if you look carefully, you can see Pete on a boat in the background. I was quite proud of that. I quite like the teaching one that also came out recently. I thought it was quite funny, and it was really nostalgic. It's I made a video about teaching and kind of talked about my experience as a teacher, and it forced me to look back at a time in my life that I kind of forgot about. I kind of, because I look forward so much, I never look back. And I'd almost forgotten a lot of those kind of memories from that 3-year period as a teacher. And by making that video, I really had to go back and think long and hard about all the moments that I'd had and experiences in a way that I don't normally do. So I enjoyed that. And not only that, but the video did really well and got like a million views in a week. So it was a fun video to make and it did well. So those are two ones that I like. Also, the Matsuyama video. In Journey Across Japan, where I had to meet a stranger in the city of Matsuyama in Shikoku and get like a tour for the day. Quite enjoyed that. It's quite adventurous and fun. So those ones there. Yeah. But good questions. Good questions, Elizabeth. Thanks for asking.
Check out the videos.
Yeah. What we got next?
The email is from Juan Carlos Escalante, which is an excellent name. My question is, with regards to hugging and physical contact in Japan, and not discussing such things is rather taboo, what with COVID ravaging through the world at the moment, but I'm curious to hear your thoughts on hugging in Japan. You see, last year, I backpacked Japan for about 3 months, starting in Sapporo in April and working my way down towards Aoshima in July. Beautiful.
Wow.
Hot as well, I imagine. Good Lord. It was the greatest experience of my entire life, and I hope to see more of the country again someday soon. During my time, I noticed differences in the mannerisms of the people from each town, namely with regards to physical contact. I don't mean to generalize or stereotype, but it seemed that the further away I was from Tokyo, the more likely a local person would initiate a hug with me. Now, for the record, I never initiated a hug in Japan, because I'm aware that sometimes that is not part of their culture. But it seemed like the people of Fukuoka and Hokkaido, particularly the young people and the university students, had different ideas and were keen to shatter that no-hug stereotype. Do you feel do you find it to be true that the further away you are from Tokyo, the more huggy people tend to be? Or was it just pure chance and I happened to meet Japan's most extroverted people? Thanks again, guys. Don't forget, wash your hands. Juan Carlos.
Interesting one. Wow, that's really cool. And what an adventure. Ooh. Sapporo to Aoshima. Aoshima is the island just off the coast of Kagoshima, isn't it? I think.
Aoshima. Aoshima is the... is that the volcano? Or am I thinking of Kagoshima? I forget.
You might be right, yeah. I know which one
I think Aoshima is the one that is connected to the land with like this weird little walkway, and it's called the Devil's Washboard. Beautiful part of the world. Very surfy.
Oh, I'm going to look it up. I think Ryoto, you might be right. You might be right.
It's really stunning there. I stayed there for a while and went to Kagoshima, and then it just started to rain every day, so we ran away.
Brilliant.
As you do.
I must say, I haven't really... I mean, I find people in general just don't hug in Japan unless they've lived overseas and have kind of like adopted that culture. I think I've hugged Natsuki once when I was leaving Yamagata Prefecture after I'd been there 3 years and we'd lived nearby and we'd hung out every week. He was really sad because he thought I was actually just leaving Japan for good. And he cried a little bit and he gave me a hug. And that was, I think, the only time we've ever hugged. So extenuating, like, serious events like that. Some of the teachers hugged me goodbye as well when I left. So I think, yeah, it happens for big, major events maybe. But generally in Japan, people just don't hug at all. So you got lucky. You got lucky. Maybe they liked you, Juan Carlos. But well done. And what a great trip. Nice one.
Yeah.
Pete from London. Could be you. Hi, I just say hi, Chris. Doesn't even say hi, Chris and Pete. So maybe it definitely is you. Hi, Chris. I went straight to the soundboard when abroadinjapan.com went live and set Natsuki's go fuck yourself message as my message tone. That's never a good idea. Cut to two days later in line at the post office when someone texted me and my phone was heard by all. Three people in front of me turned to look at me and I did the only thing I could think of, turn around and look at the guy behind me. Cheeky. Please let your listeners know that I've taken the liberty of setting up an Abroad in Japan fan group on Facebook for everyone to join and socialise and share our love for Natsuki. Kind regards, Pete from London. And he didn't link the fan group and I wasn't able to find it. I do remember this message. Sorry, Pete.
Brilliant.
I don't know. Yeah, I looked it up, couldn't see it. But good job with the go fuck yourself message. I like that. That's a good story because when we launched the soundboard on abroadinjapan.com, which you should definitely check out, and there is unfortunately an absence of Pete Donaldson quotes on there at the moment, but we're working on it. It's been great seeing how different people have used the clips, and I'm glad that somebody said, go fuck yourself, as a message tone. That's all I ever wanted. Nice one. What we got next?
What have we got next? We've got a final email from Valestra. Hello, Valestra. Hello, British Antiques Man and Coolish Man.
Like Antiques Man?
What's that? it's not a clue. I work for a health insurance company here in Phoenix. Lovely. And I noticed that you guys haven't touched up on Japanese healthcare. And I'm curious as to what it's like for foreigners. How will you compare it? What are your good, bad experiences? And lastly, Pete, the odd question of the day for you is, while Chris fights bears with his British antiques, what would you fight a bear with? Oh. Respectful distance.
Long and hard.
Respect for my gigantic ursine friend, I imagine.
Now I remember, we did talk about British antiques, using them as a weapon. I remember it all very well. Japanese healthcare is pretty good. I've only been to the doctors once. I've only been sick, like, properly once in Japan, not including the recent food poisoning. And I've only had to go once, and it was a little bit mental. Like, the doctor had, like, a torch on his head, like a miner, like this big torch strapped to his forehead. And he couldn't speak much English. And I remember going in and I had a really bad sore throat and I had it for like about 2 weeks. And I went in, sat down in the chair, opened my mouth and he looked in with his torch. And presumably my throat was quite swollen and red because he went, and fell off, like almost fell off his chair backwards just because he was so shocked by my red throat. And he went, oh, my God. And then he turned to the table and the table had like, this is true, a bit of paper and some crayons. And he spent at least 90 seconds drawing my throat in silence with a red crayon. And then he went, this your throat. And I went, oh, no. and then, like, he had no less than three nurses, like, just standing around in the same room. And, like, two of them whipped me off to a side room, stuck a drip in my arm, like one of those drips, and just left me there in silence without really saying anything. And I was really confused by it. And that was my experience with a doctor in Japan. Seems to be pretty good, generally. So I think you get health insurance. If you're with a company, you do get some health insurance, which pays for a portion of it, I think half. But no, healthcare in Japan is pretty good. It's pretty good. And that's all you need to know. Just if you get a sore throat, expect a theatrical performance from the doctor. It's glorious. Keep the stories, comments, questions coming in to abroadinjapanpodcast@gmail.com, guys. I hope you're all staying safe, stay clean. But for now, we'll be back same time next week to do it all over again. Stay safe, stay clean. Have a great week, if you can. Good luck.
Stay frosty.
Ominous ending. It's an ominous ending. Cheer us up, Pete. Say something happy. Say something nice.
Goodbye, everyone. Don't touch your face.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we'll weigh around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.